Hi. This week, the question is, what does the Bible say about suicide? In the Bible, there were only 7 people who committed suicide, and every one of them were acting out of step with God's will when they did so. First, there was Abimelech, Judges chapter 9, Samson, Judges 16, Saul, 1 Samuel 31, Saul's armor-bearer, 1 Samuel 31, Ahithophel, 2 Samuel 17, Zimri, 1 Kings 16, and Judas, Matthew 27. Suicide was wrong for all of these men, and it is wrong for anyone today. Let me give you some reasons for this conclusion. First, suicide is wrong because it violates the command, "Thou shalt not murder." In Exodus chapter 20, verse 13, the Bible says, "You shall not murder." This is the 6th commandment, and it applies to oneself just as much as to the lives of others. In 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20, the Bible said, "You were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." God gave us our lives and our bodies to use in service to Him. Suicide is not honoring God with our bodies, but rather, it is the destruction of the gift God gave to us. Second, suicide is wrong because it's often an effort to avoid repentance. Many people who contemplate suicide are people that have wrecked their lives with foolish living. They've wasted their lives seeking after material possessions which cannot satisfy their souls, Exodus 5, verse 10. Some have wasted their lives selfishly living for themselves and hurting and violating the rights and properties of others. What these people need to do is repent of their selfish and greedy living habits, but instead they kill themselves. Suicide is just another selfish act on their part. Repentance is the biblical solution to selfishness and greed. In Acts chapter 26, verse 20, the apostle said, "I declared first to those in Damascus and in Jerusalem and throughout all the region of Judea and then to the Gentiles that they should repent, turn to God, and do works befitting repentance." Rather than feeling sorry for ourselves and thinking only of ending our own disappointments, we should repent and seek after God's will. Third, suicide is wrong because it has a distorted view about pain and suffering. A common idea is that pain and suffering are the worst things a person can endure, and it would be better to die than to suffer. Often when we pray our prayers, we pray that God would end our suffering, and when it's our turn to die, we pray that the Lord would allow us to pass on peacefully without suffering. But the Scriptures have a different perspective about suffering and pain than this. The Bible does not picture suffering as the ultimate enemy. In fact, the Bible indicates that suffering brings out better qualities of men and women. In 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7, the apostle said, "Lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" Suffering, according to this passage, reminds us of our dependency upon God. Suffering reminds us that we're in need of divine help and we cannot make it on our own. Suffering keeps us humble, and we need humility because pride is the first sin ever committed, 1 Timothy 3, verse 6. In John 21, verse 18, Jesus said to Peter, "Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you were old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish." This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." The Lord said Peter would glorify God by suffering and death, which he would eventually endure. Jesus did not advise Peter to commit suicide to avoid suffering. But he told Peter to view his suffering and death as a way of honoring God. In Acts 5, verse 41, the apostles departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. The apostles and early Christians did not consider suffering as the ultimate tragedy. They did not think that suicide was better than suffering. They counted suffering on behalf of Christ as a privilege and a way to glorify God. How could they look at suffering like this? Because they were living their lives by faith and trusting in God. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16, the Bible says, "Therefore we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." In summary, thoughts of suicide are often the result of two common problems. First, people are selfish and disappointed in how their lives have turned out. In this case, rather than committing suicide, they ought to repent of sin. They ought to repent and change their lives and begin living for God and others rather than selfishly thinking just about themselves. Second, others are suffering and in pain, and they think suicide would be better than enduring suffering. In this case, rather than suicide, they should study the Bible passages which teach that suffering can be used as a way of glorifying God. Strength and encouragement can be found in reading of those saints who suffered and endured to the end. Let me make one third point before closing. Some are not thinking clearly because of depression. We live in a time when the insanity plea is used to excuse everyone from every responsibility. And sometimes we tend to go to the other extreme and think there is no such thing as being insane at all. And yet the Bible does seem to indicate there are some people who are insane and doing things they would not otherwise do if they were in their right minds. In Luke 8, verse 35, the Bible says, "Then they went out to see what had happened and came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid." This indicates that before the demons were cast out, this man was insane. He was not responsible for his actions done while he was insane. Nebuchadnezzar was truly insane. Daniel chapter 4. When people are truly insane, the actions they commit while insane is not generally held against them. Whether a person is truly insane or not, only God may be able to judge. Remember this, however, a person is not going to be saved in heaven simply because he was insane during the last days of his life. The question which will determine his eternal destiny was, how did this person live his life before becoming insane? Did he obey the gospel? Did he serve God faithfully? Well, when a man is in his right mind and takes his own life, he is sinning. God did not give our lives to live as we ourselves choose to live them. We are given our lives to serve God and glorify Him. We are not free to do as we think best, including when to end our lives. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31, the Bible says, "Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." Well, thanks for listening to our message this week. We invite you to visit our website at www.willofthelord.com. That's www.willofthelord.com. And there at our website, you may download the notes and the audio file of the message you just listened to. We invite you to call again every week as we consider new subjects on Bible Talk.